Masechta Pesachim. We begin with the initial introduction to the Kehati, and tomorrow we'll start the actual Mishnayos. This Masechta Kolela Shlosha Inyanim Yikarim brings on three main concepts: the halachas of chametz u'matzah, especially to the prohibition of the iser of chametz on Pesach. The second one is the concept of the Karban Pesach, and the third is the concept of the laws of the Seder night of Pesach. There are three prohibitions, three isurim that are mentioned regarding chametz on Pesach. The iser of achila, not to eat chametz on Pesach, as the pasuk says, "Shivas yamim matzos tochelu ki kol ochel chametz v'nichrosa nefshahim yisrael." The second pasuk is the iser of hana, not to derive any pleasure from chametz on Pesach, as the pasuk says, "V'lo yeochel chametz." And the prohibition not to even have the chametz in your rishus, in your possession, on Pesach, as the pasuk says, "V'lo yireh lecha chametz, v'lo yireh lecha se'ar b'chol givulecha, shivas yamim se'ar lo yimatzim b'teichem." We learn from these three psukim the prohibition not to eat chametz on Pesach, not to have any hana on Pesach, any pleasure from the chametz on Pesach, and not to have it in your domain, in your rishus. Therefore, we're commanded to destroy the chametz before the time when it comes, before this man of iser achila, meaning there's a time when you can't eat chametz anymore on Erev Pesach. You have to destroy your chametz before that specific time, as the pasuk says, "Ach b'yom harishon tashpisu se'ar mibateichem," and we learn out from there that the rishon, the first, is referring to the 14th day of Nisan, which is Erev Pesach. That's when you have to, stop eating, and you have to, you know, get rid of chametz which is in your domain. So we learn that from the pasuk also, "Lo tishchat al chametz dam zivchi," which means don't shecht the carbon Pesach when you still have chametz around. And the shechting of the carbon Pesach was done on the 14th of Nisan after Chatzos. So before Chatzos, you'd have to have gotten rid of your chametz. Now, how do you get rid of your chametz? So some say the main purpose is to destroy it in your heart. Meaning, like we do nowadays, we do a bitul chametz. Shivatul adam as a chametz beliba. You should nullify it in your heart, and you should think like it's offer, like it's dust. And you should v'yachshu beliba. You should think in your heart that you don't own the chametz at all, and that all chametz which is in your domain should be like dust of the earth, and like something that you don't need because you can't even own it. Just make it completely ownerless. Nowadays, we say this statement that in our hearts, we make it ownerless, and we have an added stringency that we sell it to a Gentile. So just in case, we didn't really mean it in our heart, that anything we have is sold to the Gentile, so we don't own any chametz. And so to the Chen Targumo Targumim, other commentaries explain also that Tashbisu means to vatlon, to nullify it. Some say the destroying of the chametz, as mentioned in the Torah, is not just in your heart, but also to eradicate the chametz from the world. And it's not enough to nullify in your heart. And that's why nowadays we do both. We burn it, and we nullify it in our heart, and we even sell any chametz that we may think that we didn't nullify in our heart, or sometimes we have precious chametz that we can't destroy, so we sell that to the guy. Right, and the reason that you have to get rid of it entirely, even though you may not eat it and you may not have any pleasure, but you can't even own it. You can't even look at it. Bayira bayamatze. You can't yira look at it. Yira bayamatze. You cannot have it found in your domain. As the pasuk says, "Well, yira lecha should not be seen to you." The shelcha in ataroa, meaning you can see other people's chametz, but you can't see your own. When you make it hefker, when you nullify it, that's not yours anymore. So you nullify it in your heart. You physically destroy it. And then anything that you may have, that you may not have seen, you sell to guys who's just completely eradicated. Let's see here. Okay. V'yesh serve are those that hold that the mitzvah of tashbis of destroying includes two things, a nullifying in the heart. I bi'ur min ha'olam. Let's see. Okay. Let's skip that. Let's see, there's another day over here. Yeah, the point is they're coming out with a number of things. There's the pedikas chametz, looking for the chametz to the light of the candle that we do. There's the beer of actually burning it. Then there's the nullification that we do in our heart, right? And then we also, sell it to a guy just in case there's anything around. So we're really, really, really stringent over here with these laws. Okay, moving right along, what about the Korban Pesach? The Korban Pesach is actually the main mitzvah of the Yom Tov of Pesach. And all of its, details are brought down in the Torah in Parshas Bo. It says, Ein Korban Pesach Ba, it can only come from a keves, from a lamb, and from the ezim, from the goats. Set Tamim Zachar Ben Shana, the Pasuk says, the time to shech the Korban Pesach, according to the Torah, is on the 14th day of Nisan, Bin Harbayim, in the evening, like the Pasuk says, Barba Asa Yom B'chodesh Hazeh, Bin Harbayim, in the evening, on the 14th of Nisan, did you tasus also b'moado that you bring the Korban Pesach? Another pasuk says v'shachatu also kol kahal adash yisrael ben arbayim. So you shechted in the evening, and the chachamim elaborate from here. It's 6 hours and onward in the day, which means from chatzos and onward. Mikan la'achar b'yachametz. So after the time of destroying the chametz, once you reach mishagiyah shas atzarayim, when the evening comes and the sun begins to lean towards the west. Mitchila kedushas chag haPesach, the Yom Tov of Pesach begins, and from this time, the melacha is prohibited. So they're just going through, the process, and we'll discuss this all in great detail once we begin the Masechta tomorrow. Kol Yikurish, all the main things of the Korban Pesach, lo ba'el la'achila, meaning the pasuk says, Eish l'fi achle techusu alaseh. So it says over here, Mikan Shonim, the rules of Dini Pesach are different Midina Karbanos from other Karbanos. Normally Karbanos are eaten by the Kohanim. But here, the Karbanos eaten by the actual person that's bringing it. That's over here by Karban Pesach. Also, they bring down that the Karban Pesach is shechted for the L'shem HaNashim Shanim Nu'olah, for the people that are part of that group. Meaning, you gotta make a group and you shecht it for the group. And they should all be able to eat at least a kazayas, from this Karban Pesach. And all the dinim, all the laws of the Karban Pesach, roasting it, eating it, one who is defiled, one who is tumah, who's tameh, has he shecht the Karban Pesach, Pesach Sheni, they're all going to discuss this in the Mishnah in greater detail. This is just an initial introduction to give us a taste to what we're about to start. The three first chapters of our Masechta will be talking about the prohibition of Isser Chametz, the prohibition of Chametz on Pesach. The fourth chapter will be talking about the prohibition of work on Erev Pesach, not on Pesach, but even on Erev Pesach. The fifth parak chapter until the ninth chapter will be discussing the Karbanos of Karban Pesach. And then the 10th chapter, which is the last chapter, there's 10 parakim, we'll discuss the laws of the Seder, of the night of Pesach. And the Rambam writes that our Masechta is after Shabbos and after Erevin. We already said, really, Erevin and Shabbos go hand in hand. Pesachim comes afterwards because it's the second mitzvah Shniel Shabbos in the parsha of the Moados, in the parsha in the Torah that talks about the Yom Tovim. So Pesach is the second mitzvah to Shabbos, and it's the beginning of the mitzvahs that are given from Moshe Rabbeinu. So therefore, after Shabbos and after Erevin, which is connected to Shabbos, we begin, of course, with Pesach. So then the obvious question is that why is Pesach called Pesachim, right? It's the Yom Tov. Why does this be called Pesach? Why Pesachim in the plural? So some say because there's a Pesach Rishon and a Pesach Sheni. Nowadays, practical, but in the times of the Beis HaMikdash and bringing a carbon, it was very practical, and we'll discuss it in the Masechta. It was basically to accommodate people that were tamei during the first Pesach to bring it a month later in the second Pesach when they're in a pure state so they could bring the carbon Pesach. In the ninth parak we'll be discussing the laws of the Pesach Sheni. So that's one reason why it's called Pesachim in the plural for Pesach Rishon and Pesach Sheni. The Meiri writes that in the times of the Gaonim, the Masechta was actually divided into two portions. The first portion discussed the four prakim that, let's see over here. Yeah, that it was divided into two. It was the first four prakim and then the last chapter. So a total of five would be discussing the laws of Chametz and Matzah and the Seder night. And the second, Chelek was discussing from Parak Hay till Parak Tes would be discussing the laws of the Karban Pesach. So therefore, it was almost like two separate masechtas. So it's called Pesach Rishon, talking about chametz and matzah and the Seder night, and then Pesach Sheni would be the other masechta, which spoke about the Karban Pesach. So that's the reason why it was also called Pesachim, two Pesachs. So with that in mind, tomorrow we'll begin the first Mishnah of Perek Aleph, Mishnah Aleph, and we'll start our journey to Masechta Pesachim, and that concludes our initial introduction.